Warning, the following content may contain elements that are not suitable for some audiences. Viewer discretion is advised.
Hello, kiddies. This is y'all's ghoulie, John Kassir, the voice of the Crypt Keeper. And you're listening to Slasher Radio.
Welcome to Slasher Radio. It's your boy Bones with Mr. Rob Humphrey and the cat herself. Ladies, what's going on?
Meow, meow, meow.
I was going to say, I didn't have my screen up, but I'm pretty sure that was Rob.
Yeah,
what's going on, guys?
Oh, hold on, what's up?
Doing all right.
It's going to be a weird podcast tonight, considering I'm not talking to either one of you, so...
Rob is not happy. Kat had the wonderful idea. Let's talk Saw.
Mm-hmm.
wonderful idea.
Right.
Stroke of genius. Or stroke.
One or the other. Yeah. And Rob, as you know, anyone who listens to us regularly is always in his cheery mood, but isn't that happy this week?
Nope, not at all. I had only seen the first two Saw movies. And I didn't like them enough to continue watching the rest of the movies. So over the past week or so, I watched 8 of these damn movies.
My God.
I can't wait to tell you what's wrong with them.
Oh, I know what's wrong with them. I'm very much here to play devil's advocate on the Saw franchise. I Saw is my favorite horror movie franchise, I think.
That's a ridiculous statement.
Especially percentage-wise, which I'll argue later. But I am really excited. That being said, I do know what's wrong with it. Like, I've seen these movies a lot. I know when they're bad. I know why.
All right. We'll see.
I'm going to be neutral ground here because I have mixed feelings. And, you know, I've always – like, this is awesome, though, because – I love Bobby to death, but me and him, as Rob knows, Kat, you didn't get to know Bobby, but we had, like, I mean, we did a round table of horror movies, I forget exactly the topic. He took almost all my list except for one. Like, we had very similar views and things, and it was rare that we disagreed on anything, let alone movies. So I love that debate factor of it, and I think that's what makes horror as great as it is, because you will get people who like the most obscure, random, terrible things like rubber, and then you'll get people who, you know, have completely different views on stuff. And it's, you know, that's what I think makes the horror world go round, and I love it. So hopefully you guys draw blood or something soon. It'll be fantastic.
No, there's definitely a lot of room for discussion with this franchise, I think. I'll give it that.
Absolutely. Yeah. Yeah. Definitely agree. So I have a feeling the cat is like shaking and gnawing at something to start talking about Saw. So let's get into the news, and then we can get into it, okay? How's that sound, guys?
That's good.
Okay.
It's time to bump the news with Rob Humphrey.
He's not a genius.
I'll be good. I'll wait.
you sure you'll make it? We need, like, an IV on standby? Okay, first up, this is kind of just a follow-up on this, because we had Jimmy J on a few weeks ago, and Creepshow has an animated special that is airing on Shudder October 29th. Rob, I know how much you like Creepshow. Are you looking forward to an animated special?
You know, this is the first I've heard of it, but yeah, I'll check it out. I like Creepshow a lot, and I'm not much of a cartoon guy, but I'll give it a look.
Okay. Now, Kat, I like that we're on a weekly basis finding out your views on things. Creepshow is such a big deal in the horror community, I think, in general. Do you agree with that? What do you think about Creepshow?
Oh, I love Creepshow. I love the old movie Creepshow. loved the Shudder series as well. It had Tobin Bell in it, and I'm really looking forward to the animated special.
Okay. Yeah. Yeah. I mean, I haven't gotten through all of the new Creep shows yet, and a year ago from pretty much this episode, we had Greg Nicotero on, and he was telling us all about Creepshow. And I'm ashamed of myself slightly that I haven't finished it yet. And, man, I feel like Creepshow is perfect for an animated series because, you know, it's based on a comic book and all this stuff. And, I mean, loosely, I guess, in movies and series like this with CGI and all that stuff, we are still somewhat restrained to reality. Animated, you could do whatever you want, and that's just perfect, I think.
Yeah.
Something like Creepshow.
Yeah, it could be. I'm looking forward to it. I don't. Is it the same people behind the series?
I know Greg Nicotero is still in charge, which, I mean, to me, that is a huge plus.
Mm-hmm.
And the special has an adaptation, two stories written by Stephen King and Joe Hill.
Okay.
Oh, yay.
I mean, what's wrong so far, you know?
Yeah, I'm in. I'll check that out.
So, I'm definitely looking forward to that. Definitely looking forward to that. I don't want to get into gaming too much because we spoke a lot about it last week. And this is not something that I am happy about by any means because I do not like this title. Fortnite has... Fortnite has Fortnightmares. I guess that's an event they're having. But it's going to feature Ghostbuster outfits and more. Rob, I would imagine between your farming simulator and everything else you're doing, Fortnite isn't on the top of your list.
No, I mean, I have played it, but it's, you know, I'm terrible at it. It's one of those things where, like, I take three steps and then get murdered by a 12-year-old who does nothing but sit there and play Fortnite all the time. My kid likes it. He plays it quite a bit. He, you know, I think it's really funny to call it Fart Night. he doesn't find it that funny. So no, it's not something that I've spent a lot of time with. I mean, I got Farming Simulator 19. I got Fall Guys. Oh, I got a lot going on.
Jeez. What else were you playing on the Switch?
That game? Animal Crossing, yeah.
Animal Crossing, Jesus Christ.
I haven't played that in a long time, actually. I'm going to have to get back on that.
Oh, my God. You got to get back on Animal Crossing.
Yeah, I was thinking about starting my island over.
I have follow-up questions about Farming Simulator, but...
okay.
What and why?
It is the most relaxing video game ever. And, I don't know. It's just kind of fun. It was a PS Plus title, a couple of months ago, so I got it for free. And, it's super relaxing. Like, you just run a farm. So it's nice. I enjoy it.
I don't understand these farmers. Like, there's a goat simulator game, Kat. I don't know if you
have played Goat Simulator.
You have? Oh, my God. You have the nerve to chastise this man about Farming Simulator?
Well, Goat Simulators, I guess is one of my questions about Farming Simulators. How accurate is it to the farming experience? Because I don't think Goat Simulator really captures what it is to be a goat.
No, I'm no farmer, far from it, but it's extremely complicated.
Oh, my God.
It's ridiculously involved, and so I think they have tried to make it as close as possible to, like, you know, like, you have to buy the right equipment, or, you know, certain stuff doesn't work together. It's really involved.
Well, moving away from Farm Simulator, Kat, by your response, I would imagine you're not a Fortnite fan. Like I said, I'm not either.
No.
But I mean, I'll give them this. They had a Batman event or something or other and recently. And you know what, man? They do shit justice. And I'm not saying as far as authenticity or anything. Not like that. But as far as, you know, appearance-wise and all that stuff, dude, you really couldn't ask for more because they are a high-grade company and everything looks great. So I am kind of curious. I'm not going to go on Fortnite to see it. But, you know, I'm going to Google the I guess call them avatars. I don't know, the skins, whatever the hell they are. I'm going to look them up and see how they look. Yeah, I really am. I'm curious enough to say that, to see that much.
I'm sure I'll catch it when my kid's playing, so.
And I'd be like, ooh, Ghostbusters.
Yeah.
I hope none of our listeners are Fortnite fans because...
Oh, sorry, Fortnite fans.
Yeah, I know, right?
You're not old enough to listen to this show if you're playing Fortnite.
I agree. I mean, that's my go-to line. Whenever, I mean, we were talking before we started the show about shit talkers on video games. My go-to line is, go back to Fortnite. That's pretty much it. Like, it's annoying. So, I don't know. I'm looking forward to see it, like I said. And it's cool that a platform like that is going for the horror titles. Like, Ghostbusters is a classic. Yeah, good for them.
Yeah.
Anyway, moving on from that. Apparently, there are reshoots that is going to bring Jared Leto's Joker to Justice League.
Oh, boy.
I had opinions about that one, too.
Really? Like what?
Not a huge fan of that Joker. If I had to rank all the Jokers, I would start with Jared Leto so I could go backwards. Like,
I wasn't a huge fan of that either. So I don't know why they would want to put him in Justice League, but whatever.
You know, I'm not gonna lie, I haven't seen the new Joker yet.
And oh, it's so good.
How the hell? Wait, what? How could you say it's so good? And I thought I remembered you saying it was really good, and you don't like the Joker? What?
No, I didn't like Jared Leto's Joker.
But that was what the movie was.
No, the new one was Joaquin Phoenix, right? Yeah.
Oh my god, I'm a moron. It sure was. Right. Okay, yeah. I
uh-oh, retard alert!
Completely
retard alert!
That.
Suicide Squad, right?
Yeah,
right.
Jared Leto was Joker in Suicide Squad.
I don't know what happened. Jesus, my brain farted big time. I guess I see new Joker, and people are making a big deal about this. So I was like, oh, cool. And yeah, that's right. Joaquin Phoenix nailed that shit and won all kinds of shit for it.
Yeah.
So now, okay, now that I fucking got snapped back to reality real quick, what the hell? I'm kind of confused then. This is such a huge budget movie. You would think that, I don't know if money was the issue or whatever. Maybe they're just sticking to their guns with Suicide Squad. I mean, who knows?
Well, they've got another Suicide Squad movie coming. I don't know if Jared Leto's Joker is going to be in it or not. But I know that James Gunn is directing it. So it should hopefully be an improvement over the first one because the first one wasn't very good at all. But yeah, I don't know.
Yeah. Well, I don't know what the hell made my brain fart about like that, but, I mean, Joaquin Phoenix was such a huge hit, you would think, you know?
Yeah, the DC movies are just a mess. They're just all over the place, and, you know, it's, so they can do whatever. I mean, you know, I don't know how interested I am in seeing this, you know, Snyder cut of Justice League, but, you know, I mean, I guess I'll check it out when it comes out, but... The movies are, they're just such a mess and all over the place that it's hard to get invested.
True. Yeah, and it's a shame that DC is as much of a shit shoot, I guess, as far as movies, because you know, I love DC and all their characters, so that's a shame.
Yeah, I've always been a much bigger DC fan than Marvel myself, and so, yeah, it's a little disappointing.
So I came in with the MCU. Well, I grew up with like the Batman movies, and then
right.
I got more into comics with the MCU. So I came in from a Marvel side. I do like the Batman characters are my favorite overall comic book characters, both in terms of villains and heroes. So I've kind of eased more into liking DC domains, but Marvel can do a better movie more consistently,
right.
I think. That being said, there were also a lot of MCU movies that I disliked that everyone else loved. So but overall, I do think Marvel can do a good movie, and that's usually where I'm at. If I'm going to read a comic, usually it's going to be a graphic novel of some kind, actually.
Mm-hmm.
Something spookier.
Right.
So I'm kind of on the fence, I guess, is the answer. A little bit of Marvel, a little bit of DC.
Yeah. Never been a comic book fan, but definitely growing up, action figures, cartoons, and, you know, as they got, I loved the Batman movies of the 90s and all that, so definitely a DC kid growing up, but, yeah, it's hard to argue with Marvel's success, damn it, I hate it so much.
Yeah, I mean, they just did it right, and they continue to, for the most part. I mean, been a couple of the movies that, you know, maybe I didn't like as much as everybody else, like Kat was saying, but for the most part, you know, when Marvel puts out a movie, even if it's a character I've never heard of or I'm not that familiar with,
mm-hmm.
I know, you know, there's a very good chance I'm going to come out of the theater having liked.
You know, I've never seen any of the Marvel Avenger movies.
Oh, really?
Not one.
These one Avengers was pretty solid.
Yeah.
Yeah, yeah. Especially the new one. Like, I'm just not sitting down for a 3-hour movie. I'm sorry. I'm not going to do it. That's why I didn't see the new Joker yet.
They did get long.
Yeah, it's ridiculous. I don't know why they started doing that. But yeah, so that's really weird that they chose him, but okay. Good for Leto, I guess. Next up, Tim fucking Burton wants to bring back the Addams Family for a live action TV series. Holy shit.
Interesting. I mean, at this point in his career, with Tim Burton, when he gets a hold of a property, you just hold your breath and pray he doesn't mess it up.
You think so?
Yeah, I mean, what's the last good movie Tim Burton made?
Sweeney Todd.
Damn, you know? Went that far back?
Yeah, 2007, yeah. Sweeney Todd, the last good... Tim Burton was my favorite director growing up, and I got super into Sweeney Todd, and everything since then has kind of broken my heart a little bit.
Yeah, he's just, there's something's not right with him, and you know, I the good news is if he does get involved with the TV series, chances are he's not going to get Johnny Depp to star in it.
Probably not. I mean, you guys didn't like the Alice in Wonderland? I'm looking at his IMDb now. That's 2010.
No.
I was all so Alice in Wonderland and Tim Burton at the time were two of my favorite things in the world. I was there opening. Show, and it was just very disappointing.
You would think the two would go beautiful together, too, you know? Like,
yeah, that seemed perfect on paper, and Dark Shadows also hurt to sit through.
Like, yeah, the thing with Tim Burton is I think he needs to get back to creating something original.
Fair.
Because whenever he gets a hold of an established property, it's... mediocre at best.
Okay, so I'm guessing you guys weren't a fan of Frankenweenie in 2012.
Yeah, I didn't see it.
Shocking. Rob, you watch everything.
I didn't see that one.
Oh my god.
Frankenweenie is like a good thing to watch with kids. Yeah. It did not restore my faith in Tim Burton, but I didn't hate it. It was cute.
Yeah. You did Dumbo in 2012. I didn't even know he did Dumbo. What? You did Dumbo in 2012?
We had a live-action Dumbo. Yeah.
I didn't watch that one.
I didn't either.
No.
I couldn't bring myself to...
I've skipped most of those live-action Disney movies where they've redone the classic cartoons. I did see Aladdin because it was at the drive-in before something else that I wanted to see. It was okay. Yeah, it wasn't terrible.
That's a shame. You know, I didn't really... sit and look at, because I had no idea he was, like, I know Frankenweenie was kind of a big deal, you know, what it was. I don't remember the Alice in Wonderland that well. I don't know if I've seen it in its entirety. I think I did. I don't remember. But it obviously it didn't leave that much of an impression on me, so, you know, I guess that says something. But, yeah, I didn't really stop and think. I guess these guys get such big names, you know, that you just kind of remember the good on instinct. And it's like, damn, man, that is true. If you really think about his latest work, it hasn't really been up to par. But Addams Family, I don't know if that's really a whimsical kind of franchise.
I mean, I could see room to make it that way, to take it in that direction.
Yeah.
But, you know, again, I just wish he would do something original and get away from these properties.
That's
because
true.
It's just, he has such a unique and interesting perspective and vision and style when mm-hmm. he makes an original movie. And when you try to force that into an existing IP, it's just terrible. At best, it's an awkward fit. You know, and at worst, it's a disaster.
Yeah. I hope he does, because the Addams Family was another, like we were talking about the Batman movies and all that in the 90s. Addams Family had really good movies.
I didn't like those movies.
Rob!
No, I didn't like the Addams Family movies. I used to watch the old show, though, so I liked that.
The show was very good. Kat, please tell me you have my back on this one.
I haven't seen them in a really long time. I remember liking them as a kid. I remember really liking the Addams Family movies. But I remember the show better as an adult.
Yeah. Whenever those Addams Family movies are on TV, I always watch them with a smile. I've yet to regret any of them. So, damn, Rob, I'm surprised, didn't you?
Yeah, I don't even know what it was about them. I didn't like it. I saw, were there two of them?
There was like three.
Yeah, I saw at least the first two in theaters, and I don't know, they didn't land for me quite right. No, I don't know. But, you know, we talked DC versus Marvel. What do you guys think? Is it the Addams Family or the Munsters?
The Addams Family.
Yeah. See, I've always liked the Munsters better.
What?
Yeah, I always thought the Munsters was a funnier show. It was a better show.
I'm going to have you examined.
With Grandpa and Eddie.
I mean, I like the Munsters. Don't get me wrong. Yeah. I'm not going to sit and knock them, but I don't know. They had Uncle Fester, man. Thing, Cousin It.
And the Munsters had what was her name, Marilyn, that hot chick, and they, you know, she's super smoking hot, and they're always talking about how ugly she was and stuff.
Oh my God, yeah. Leave it to Rob.
That was a good show. Like the weird dragon pet under the stairs.
I don't know. It doesn't beat a hand.
Can't remember that. I can't remember the name of that thing. Oh. Anyway, yeah, I always liked the Munsters better. I don't know why.
That's a little shocking. Okay, well. To each their own, I guess. But, yeah, I'm looking forward to that. Like I said, I do think, even though Addams Family isn't really... They do have a little whimsical in there here and there, but it is more of a darker thing, which Tim Burton does well, too. I think he can adjust, and I'm really looking forward to seeing what he can do with this.
I hope that I'm wrong to be skeptical, but
right.
I'm going to be mostly excited about Tim Burton when they decide to finally adapt the melancholy Death of Oyster Boy.
I have no idea what the hell you're talking about.
All right. Fair.
Oyster Boy.
What? He can do dark, and he can do it well. I mean, like, Sleepy Hollow was really good. That's a pretty dark movie. He can do it, but I don't know. It's again, it's an existing property, which is usually bad news for him, and it's TV. Is Tim Burton, I mean, has he even done TV before?
Not that I'm aware of, but...
Video short, video documentary. He did something, what the hell, Fairy Tale Theater? That was in 1986.
Oh, boy.
So, not in a while, at least.
Yeah.
He did a few TV movies, but different.
Yeah, I'm not familiar with that Fairy Tale Theater either. So, yeah, I don't know. I mean, I'll probably check it out. I don't know that I'll really go out of my way to watch it. I mean, I'll probably watch, you know, the first episode or two.
We'll see
what it's at after that.
Yeah, it's hard for me to get invested in stuff and with TV nowadays, because it's just, I don't know what the hell it is, but it's just hard for me to really sit down and watch stuff weekly, and I don't know why, because I used to be able to. The only thing that could really catch me weekly, and it's not even horror-related, Walking Dead used to do it. Big Brother, man. I will sit fucking watch some Big Brother. Let me tell you.
Big Brother?
Rob.
Really? Is that show still on?
Oh, it's phenomenal, dude. Mm-hmm. Kat, you don't watch Big Brother?
No.
Damn it.
You're alone on this one.
I guess. Yeah. It's so hard to find people who watch Big Brother, and it's so damn good.
Yeah, I mean, I watched it a long time ago, like when it was still a new thing. But honestly, I swear I didn't know it was still on.
I watched Big Brother, like you said, at the beginning. I can't believe we're talking about Big Brother. I watched it at the beginning, and, like, you know, season one, season two, blah, 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 and all that. And it's just, I think I caught it. I think they're on season 22 or something like that. But I caught season 18, and oh my God, it was so good, and I have been hooked ever since.
I'll get sucked into a trashy reality show. Don't, you know, I'm not even going to act like I'm above it. Like, I spent an entire weekend a couple of weeks ago watching a show that's streaming on that Peacock streaming service called Below Deck. It's about people who work on these mega yachts. And I just watched it. That's all weekend. It's a stupid show.
Jeez.
Yeah.
Yeah, they have way too many stupid shows on nowadays. Like, you never know what you'll find. Like, I've seen a show about houses being built. Apparently, you can get a house, like, house boat. Or something. Yeah. I don't fucking know. Anyway. So, that's pretty much it for the news. Kat, I'm unleashing you.
Yay!
Enemy spotted.
What is it? Because you've mentioned Saw to me several times.
Yes. I've been thinking about it a lot recently, probably because it is around, it's around Halloween. I grew up, we talked about this, I think I mentioned it in the last episode too, where I grew up with the Saw franchise. My love for horror is very interconnected into the Saw franchise. I do wonder sometimes if I would like it as much as I do if I had come across it later, like I did with a lot of the classic franchises, you know?
Mm-hmm.
But it was that, you know, I had that feeling of, like waiting in between the release of these movies, you know, and one would come out and I'd have questions at the end and I'd have to wait a whole year to figure out, you know, like what they were going to do with it next. And it also, you know, I have a lot of fond memories tied into it also because it would come out right around my birthday. I spent, I think from the time I was 13 to the time I was 18, I spent most of my, like, birthday parties out at the movie theater watching the new Saw. So it's, like, it's a very personal, I grew up with this franchise. And it's flawed, but it's, I think it's one of the most interesting series to talk about. And I do think it's one of the most, this is the argument that I always make for Saw as a franchise as a whole, is that I think it's the most consistent. Like, there are like three tiers of quality in Saw films.
Mm-hmm.
And obviously the bottom tier, the movies aren't great when you get to it. No. But if you look at the worst Saw movie versus like the worst any other horror franchise that has had more than three movies, you know, like Jigsaw's my least favorite. I know a lot of people think the final chapter was worse, which I get. The blood was pink. It was unfortunate. Uh-huh. It was marketed in 3D, and then they never released a 3D home version. Like, it had problems. I get it. But if you look at that, if you look at the final chapter, or, you know, my least favorite is Jigsaw, against something like, you know, there are some against, like, Jason Takes Manhattan, you know.
Easy. I like that movie.
Sorry.
I have no idea how you can possibly like that movie.
If you look at it against what was the latest Hellraiser that came out?
Oh God!
Like the 2019 Hellraiser.
Yeah.
Jigsaw's better than that. Like it's not great, but if that's where the bar is, you know, like there's very little difference. I think there are no entries in the Saw franchise that are so bad that I can't sit through them. And that's something that I don't have with a lot of even my other favorite horror franchises. There's always that one that I kind of skip over. And Saw doesn't have that for me. And they all feel like a Saw movie. They all have the same few characteristics while broaching different subjects. They all add to John Kramer's backstory. They all tell a small enclosed story of their own, and they all tackle like some other interesting issue, well, whether it's on a personal or a societal level, which I really like. And the moral implications of the franchise make it fascinating to dive into and talk about. And I just think as a franchise, it's very solid.
Okay. I mean, that's fair. You brought up Friday the 13th in a very rude comparison to
Sorry.
One of my favorite movies.
Jason X. Can I compare it to Jason X?
No, you cannot. Jason X is awesome.
Okay.
I was going to go there, but Rob, I like Jason X as well, so I'm not going
to... Jason goes to hell. That's the one.
Okay. But see, the vibe I got, and it's not as, you know, equivocating. Look at that word.
Damn!
Equivocating the, you know, how bad the movies are to each other. But I do feel like Jigsaw, because I watched that one today, so yeah. It's fresh. It felt like Jason X in terms of. It got too far ahead of itself, I think, and I felt like Jason X. It felt like, okay, this thing is dead. Let's give one last ditch effort, and that's what we got. But I like Jason X, so it's not a comparison in those terms. But yeah, as far as how good the movie was, I would give it the Jason Goes to Hell, Rob. I agree on that.
Yeah. I need you guys to go look at Twitter and the message thread that we have going, because I want to ask you a question about the Saw 3D poster.
Is that Sylvester Stallone?
Yeah, that's exactly what I'm asking. Why is Sylvester Stallone on the poster?
Oh, right.
My name is Rocky Balboa.
What?
Because it looks exactly like Sylvester Stallone. Like, that is Stallone, right?
I'm pretty sure that's still Tobin Bell.
Yeah,
right?
I think that's what they want you to think, but they couldn't get him to come for the photo shoot, so they got Stallone to stand in for him or something.
I think they want people to think Stallone's in this, because it looks like there's a little Rambo belt around him.
Yeah.
It looks like he's wearing war boots and everything.
It looks exactly like Sylvester Stallone.
Wow. I thought you sent, like, something you found that was funny, and you had Sly in there. And I'm like, what the hell?
Get a job, you bum!
No, that's the poster. I have no idea why it looks like that. In regards to Jigsaw, that was one of my least favorites of the franchise. I didn't understand what the point of it was. It just felt tacked on and completely unnecessary.
Jigsaw's the only one that let me down. Like, the only one that I regretted, like, coming out of the theater being sad, the only one was Jigsaw. And there were so many stories left at the end of 7 that I had been waiting to get picked up. There were so many ideas I had and that other fans had. And then they were all ignored when Jigsaw came back. I was like, yeah. This is going to be it. We're going to find out what happens to Daniel Matthews. And they're like, oh no, actually.
One of the, I took notes when I was watching the movies, and one of the things that I wrote down for Jigsaw was, it feels more like a graphic episode of Law and Order than it does a Saw film.
Bro. Okay. Rob, you walked me right into one of my biggest points on it. And I do want to hear. All right, go. I'll get into it first, because I do want to hear, because you really, really weren't happy when Saul was brought up, and it seems like your mind hasn't been changed with some surprise. But, dude, I like the first, second, and third Saul. I will really stand true to that.
Yes.
But as it went on, it felt more like a cop series than anything else. And, Rob, I'm glad it wasn't just me. Like, I really thought. That's where it was, like, I was like, what the hell happened? And you noticed it too, which is fantastic. I thought it was going crazy.
Yeah, no, you know, Mikey, you know me. I'm extremely open-minded and willing to accept other people's input and opinions on things.
You're a big phony!
but, boy, was my mind not changed on this Saw franchise. I will say that upon rewatching them, I did actually enjoy the first one and the second one.
The third one.
I didn't like.
No.
Yeah, no, I was done. And that was pretty much it. There was one other one I kind of liked. I think, though, part of the problem is what Kat made reference to earlier. This is not a franchise that I feel like you can sit down and watch one after the other, which is how I did it. And I didn't, not all at once, but over the course of a couple of days.
Okay.
And I think that the problem is it's very formulaic. And you see those patterns and you see the formula right in your face when you watch them one after, you know, right in a row. It stands out so much so, you know, there's going to be, obviously, you know, the traps and everything, and then there's going to be, you know, they're going to fuck with the timeline so that you think something's happening concurrent to other events, but then you find out that it already happened in the past. And then at the end, they're going to reveal some weird twist, and then somebody's going to say game over and shut a door. Right? Yeah. I mean, that's a Saw movie. And so when you watch that 8 times in a row over the course of a couple of days, you start going, oh, Jesus, this is fucking torture.
Yeah.
And so I do think it probably would have benefited seeing them when they came out, you know, with a year in between and you know, the buildup and the excitement leading to the new one.
But I'd like to comment for me on that as well. I have an annual Saw marathon that I do. It started as a double feature. And I thought it was funny the next year when the third one was released to DVD to, like, also add that one in there. I've actually seen the Saw movies at, like, I marathon them every year back-to-back. And they are formulaic. I think that there's enough difference in the tone of the stories, at least for me, that they don't feel – that even with the formula, like – I don't feel overwhelmed by it. But what really gets me is I think the closer you watch them together, the more tragic John Kramer's backstory seems. Like, because it's not just the arc that you're following for each individual movie, it's his mindset throughout, you know, the becoming of Jigsaw and all of the killings, which it's one of the reasons why I like the franchise, is I think Kramer's a very interesting villain.
I looked at it actually quite the opposite way, in that I feel like these movies and this franchise would have been better served to be just to keep it simple.
Mm-hmm.
I think there was a lot of interesting stuff happening with the sort of individual stories, but then they would constantly have that sort of overarching story of the entire franchise that kept getting in the way of me enjoying what was happening. And I feel like if they had kept it simpler, it would have been a much more enjoyable and probably a much more interesting franchise. I do think the character of John Kramer is extremely interesting. There's a lot to explore there. I'm not sure that they explored it to its fullest extent, though. I think that they think they did, but they didn't.
Mm-hmm.
I do think it would have been stronger if one director had, and I would have,
yes,
two of my favorite directors have worked on the Saw franchise. I would have been happy with either one of them taking over, but I do wish that one person from beginning to end had been involved, because I think it's hard to do consistent character work with a character that you're only coming in for the, like, fifth or sixth movie, you know?
You wish you had a Wes Craven.
Yes.
You know, something like that.
Wish we had a Wes
Craven. Yeah, right. that is very true.
Although, there were also, because Nightmare on Elm Street is also one of my favorite horror franchises.
Oh, hell yeah.
And there were some issues in working on Freddy's character as well.
Yeah.
Well,
yeah.
That also wasn't.
Yeah,
perfect.
Well, Wes walked away from that franchise for a long time, though. That was a whole mess. I don't know. I got, like, okay, so they would do a twist at the end of every movie, basically, right?
Right.
Yes.
And I got really annoyed because then they would go through the process of walking us through the twist, and it was almost like they were elbowing me in the ribs, going, ha-ha, see how clever we are?
Yeah.
I'm like, I don't need you to spell it out for me. I get it.
Yeah.
Like, I understand what's happening here. Yeah, I just got really annoyed with that really quick.
It helped me as a younger viewer, as maybe I shouldn't have been watching Saw as young as I did, but as a younger viewer, that was something that really helped sell me on the first one. And then, you know, because I was young, I wasn't paying, like, the closest attention during the movie. And then when they walked me through the twist, I was like, oh, I get this, even though I had one eye elsewhere. And then, you know, for the second one, I was a little bit more invested. It's also something I think adds to, like, rewatchability in a weird way. Because normally stuff like that really bugs me, and it doesn't in Saw. And I think one of the reasons is because they do walk you through enough. Take the first one as example. They walk you through, you know, oh, it wasn't Zeb. Zeb met John at the hospital, and John was really Jigsaw the whole time, and he's going to stand up, you know. And they had the flashbacks. They walk you through it in the last couple minutes before the game over. But they don't show you everything.
Right.
And I think one of the things with that is, like, there are Easter eggs hidden in there that you notice on your second or third or like 15th time watching, if you're a normal person that watches this franchise too much, you know, because there's that scene where John's like, he's in the hospital bed and he's got his sketchbook open and you can see him designing the reverse bear trap,
right,
like in the hospital in like one of the earliest scenes of the film.
Mm-hmm.
And, like, they don't go over the top. They don't show you the times when they're, like, really clever and really subtle. They just show you the broad strokes, which has made it very interesting to see multiple times.
Unfortunately, I will probably never see that stuff because I don't think I will ever watch these movies again.
Oh, my God. We broke her up.
Yeah. Yeah, I just, I mean, like I said, I think the first two were good. I did like those. And so that actually, I was like, hey, maybe I'm going to like this time. And then, boy, it fell off a cliff with three, and it never really came back.
Okay, hold on a second. Because I did tell you that I really felt strongly, at least if nothing else, you would like two. So you did.
I did, yeah.
Okay, yeah. Okay. Because I didn't have high hopes on one because... I mean, I liked one, personally, but, you know, it was a very straightforward movie. Either you were going to like it or you weren't going to like it. There was really not much middle room in that movie. So I was like, all right, maybe he won't. Two, I think, and I talked about this when Jimmy J was on a few weeks ago. We talked about a franchise and how you make the difference between a movie and a franchise, and a good franchise at that. This, you need a good follow-up movie, and it has to be comparable to the first. And, man, I like the second Saw better than the first one, and I think they did a really good job with following up. Because, I mean, the first Saw just went fucking bonkers in the theaters. Like, everybody stopped and was talking about that damn movie. And then you get another one, it's like, oh, well, shit, how do you top that? And they did, which I think set up. And, Rob, you know, I like 3, too. I don't remember liking 3 that much, but on the rewatch, I really like 3.
I didn't like it.
Why not?
I will tell you, I ranked the movies as I was going through and watching them, and I had Saw 2 ranked number one.
I do think, critically speaking, Saw 3 is my favorite, but I think, critically speaking, Saw 2 is the best.
Yeah. Saw 3 I have ranked as 7th.
Dear Lord, that low? Yeah. Damn!
Yeah. What? I really did not like that one.
I was talking about how... Saw, the twist was like one of the first plot twists that ever got me was the first Saw movie. I was very surprised that they had the guts and the capacity to double down on 2 and get like a second twist in there. And then 3, I went in, I was hyper focused. It was the first one I got to see in theater. I was so laser focused. It's like, I'm not gonna miss whatever the twist is, I'm gonna catch it this time. And it was the first one that went really hard into the gore, and I got so distracted by everything else that was going on. I think it was maybe the most effective use of, like, oh, you wanted gore, huh? Because usually those movies are not my favorite. But 3 actually used it to its advantage, because the plot twist, they did, like, a double whammy plot twist in 3. And it was and I was so distracted by everything else going on in the movie that even though it spelled out very clearly from the beginning, way over my head, like the first viewing.
Also, there was a lot less Shawnee Smith in this franchise than I thought there was going to be. Like, I thought she was a real major player in these movies, and she's only in the first couple, and then she's gone.
That's also why I liked 3. I'm a big fan of Shawnee Smith. I was very sad that she was not the new Jigsaw.
Yeah.
You know, I remembered that too, Rob, and I thought I was losing my damn mind. She wasn't in any other ones other than 4. I mean, these movies blend together for me. So she was in one other one, wasn't she? After the third?
I don't remember her being in another one after the third, but I could be wrong.
She had, like, flashback cameos, but she was not actively in...
Yeah.
I feel like they fucked up with that.
Well, maybe she didn't want to do it.
Could be. It could
you
be.
You know what I mean?
Yeah.
I mean, I don't know why she's not there. I just know that I associate, like, when I think of Saul, obviously the first person you think of is Tobin Bell.
Right.
But then her name was always the second that I would think of when I thought of the franchise, and it turns out she's only in, you know, not even half of the movie.
See, that's the main thing. Well, there's a bunch of things that get me later in the franchise, but that's the main thing that really has me scratching my head. Like, they really didn't really No. And like you guys mentioned earlier, it could be difference in directors and writers and all that shit, but man, who the hell is the face of this franchise? Like, I mean, I guess it's Tobin Bell.
Yeah, it has to be Tobin Bell.
Like, but then he dies and he doesn't and he's not. And then you have Amanda and she's in there, but then she's out of there. But she was so prominent that you remember her longer than she was.
Yeah.
I mean, now we got Sylvester Stallone.
My name is Rocky Balboa.
I don't know who the face of this franchise is. And I think if they were going to kind of cut off Tobin Bell, they should have stuck with Amanda, man. She should have been the one. And she wasn't. That sucks.
I would have enjoyed it more had they stuck with her, I think, just because she's a lot of fun to look at. But so anyway, I was just surprised because I thought she was going to be in more of the franchise than she was. Instead, I had that cop guy who kept showing up. And I'm sorry, I could not tell the difference between
Kevin
that guy
Strom?
And the FBI guy.
Strom and Hoffman look so much alike.
Yeah. That's a mistake.
I have a note in these, like, the one movie where they're both in it a lot. I'm just like, which one is this? Okay, who's this? Which one is that? Because they look, I'm like, are these guys fucking twin brothers? What's going on here? Why are they exactly the same?
It's wild, because if you look at pictures of the actors, they don't look anything alike. But if you watch Saw 4 or Saw 5, it's like, it's almost impossible to tell the difference between the two of them.
It was driving me nuts.
And as stupid as it sounds, that's a big mistake, I think.
It is.
Because you already have a movie, a franchise, that's so confusing. And they're jumping here, and they're jumping there, and they're back and forth of all over the fucking place, and there's a lot to catch on with. The last thing you need to worry about is who's this, you know, because I have that too.
Five has two detectives that are working on the same case that look exactly alike on two different timelines fighting each other because one is secretly the new Jigsaw, and it drove me crazy. Like, who did casting for this?
I know.
Yeah.
I know. And, you know, I can't get over it. I really wanted it to be, if it wasn't going to be Tobin Bell, I wanted it to be Tobin Bell. But, that, like, it should have been Amanda, man. Like, I didn't like the cop, dude. I really didn't like him. Right off the bat, it rubbed me the wrong way with that. But, you know, you can get over it. Like, if a movie like that, you're in it for the gore, you're in it for the kills, so if those are good enough, you won't be unhappy. But, like, I don't know, it's just, this franchise lost its face, and that's really hard to over. We just talked about it recently with Season of the Witch, Rob. You don't have Michael Myers. Like, it's always going to be there, you know, that.
Do you want to open up this can of worms?
No, we did. Kat, I'm going to put you on the spot. Oh. What do you think about Season of the Witch? Not to get off topic.
So, I'm scared because I know I'm on thin ice for making everyone watch all the Saw movies this week. I really like Season of the Witch, but you can't look at it as a Michael Myers movie. Like, you just have to forget that it's part of the Halloween franchise because it's not a bad movie.
God damn it.
It's not bad. It's an amazing movie.
Listen to
it. It doesn't have Michael in it, and that's...
I got two words for you, Mikey. God. Tom motherfucking Atkins.
God damn it. You know, Kat, we got off to such a good start with the Leprechaun, and you didn't like Rubber. Like, what's happening lately?
I'm sorry.
Damn it. Rob, you're paying her. You're doing something over here. God damn it. But anyway, fucking Halloween 3.
That's what Saw needed. It needed Tom Atkins.
I am so glad it didn't have him.
I don't know about that.
I agree. See, there we go.
I will agree it needed more Shawnee Smith.
Yes.
She was, and it's, again, it's one of the things that I really like about the Saw franchise is even though she wasn't there nearly long enough, Amanda's one of my favorite horror villains.
Right.
If you can call her that.
Yeah.
Well, I think that she's an interesting character, much like Jigsaw himself or John Kramer. Is an interesting character. I guess I just never felt like they really got to who John Kramer was. I think that they made attempts to dive deep into the character to let us know exactly who he was, but then they would pull back because, you know, they were going to make more movies or whatever. And so we never really got the answer to understand him or what really drove him as a person. And I think maybe the same thing's true of Amanda, although actually I think she was probably a little clearer than John Kramer was by the time it was over. But I think they're both really interesting characters, and their motivations for doing things, the things that they do, are very interesting. I think that the franchise in itself is built interesting premise. I just don't think it was executed properly.
And the Saw movies, the bottom tier of Saw movies for me, I talked about, like, I have three tiers. I think my problem with all of the ones on the bottom tier are that the premise is amazing and the execution was lacking in those more than the other ones, except for Jigsaw is also in the bottom tier, and it was just wasted potential because there were so many plot threads already going and then they didn't pick any of them up.
Right.
And that was my problem with Jigsaw. But, you know, Saw 4, I wasn't crazy about, and the final chapter was executed very poorly. But the fact that they had a Jigsaw support group, like, I would have loved for them to just laser focus in on that. That was very fascinating to me. And
Was that the final chapter with the guy who wrote the book?
Yeah.
Yeah, that was a really, really interesting premise.
Interesting concept, but they focused too much on making it 3D.
Yeah, the execution was not good, but that was a really interesting premise. I was let down by that one because I thought, you know, when I figured out that, oh, this guy's lying and he wrote this book, I thought, oh, this is going to be awesome. And it didn't really work. The one that I did like was 6.
With the insurance?
The insurance people, yeah. And that was to me, was a really great example, I thought, of it would have been a better movie had it been just simpler, had they left out sort of the overarching storyline stuff and just focused on what was happening with the insurance people. I think it would have been a great movie.
Then you wouldn't know. See, it would have been a stronger independent story. I think the social commentary would have been stronger, but you were talking about not feeling like you know John Kramer's motivations really well, and the fact that he was turned down and that he had gotten so enraged about having the formula to determine whether or not a person can live or die. That was like, it was a very formative moment for what drives him to do the traps, and that connection was something that I made the previous movies better for me, I think.
Yeah, I mean, I guess I can see that. I just, to me, that was another thing that, you know, he was turned down, but he wasn't turned down for treatment. He wasn't turned down for coverage. He was turned down for an experimental treatment that had a low percentage chance of working. You know what I mean?
but it wasn't that I don't think that's the thing that made him really tick, though, because he was turned down for treatment, and he did have that conversation. But I think the thing that they kept cycling back around to was he was upset that the formula didn't cover a person's will to live. And I think that was the takeaway for me, is that it wasn't just what he saw as an injustice being done to him. It was an injustice that his condition had led him to encounter that was affecting everyone.
Yeah, that's fair. I mean, that did come up in the movie a few different times. It was brought up about the person's will to live and stuff. I did like that one. I thought that was one of the better entries in the franchise. 4, as you mentioned, I thought was dumb. Like, I took a note that they start doing the autopsy on John Kramer, and they find a tape. Like, I guess it's in his stomach or it's inside the body somewhere. And as soon as they find the tape, one of the guys says, "Get homicide now." And it's like, well, yeah, but he's got a big gash across his neck. Like, his neck has clearly been slit. That should have been when you got homicide.
Well, I think they're getting homicide because they know that it's John Kramer, right?
I don't know.
And he's left a message.
Yeah, and the whole thing was like, what makes more sense? Is it that the leader of the SWAT team has turned bad and is doing all this? Or he's being manipulated by the, you know, manipulative serial killer who's done this over and over again. The fact that they kept leaning into maybe this guy was guilty was driving me nuts.
Or is another one, the execution was bad, but the premise I thought was very interesting.
Yeah.
I was very let down because not the premise of Hoffman. If Hoffman had been less involved in any of the movies, I would have been okay, except for maybe 5, which it takes enough time to explain why he's there in the first place, which helped a little maybe, but less Hoffman, always better. But I do like the premise of four with Rig, where it seems like he's trying to be recruited.
Mm-hmm.
I wish they had stuck that out, because I was interested much more in that.
Yeah. And I know what I wanted to ask.
Uh-oh.
So I'm watching these movies, right? And at some point, somebody talks about this has been happening over a period of 10 years. And I thought it had been like 3 days. Like, what is the period of time that these movies are supposed to cover?
So they cover a pretty long time. It's originally, I think it was only supposed to, there isn't a ton of time in between. Well, there's virtually, it's hard because it's on different timelines, but there's not a lot of time between 3 and 4 that they happen pretty sequentially. But there's a lot of time between 1 and 2, which you don't really find out watching 1 and 2, except for the hint when you do see Adam and you see the Dr. Gordon's foot, like they've obviously decayed quite a bit.
Mm-hmm.
Is kind of the only hint to how much time has taken. But even if you look at 2 and 3, like Amanda has really grown in the time span of, and it was lessened a little bit by the fact that they also retroactively worked her into the early traps, but.
Yeah,
it's several years.
Okay. Yeah, I was confused by that because to me it felt like it had been like a month. You know what I mean? So I was like, oh, it's been years. Okay. I didn't get that at all.
Yeah, and I could see, and see, that's what I think hurts the franchise the most. The time. And whether it's too far ahead, they're moving too far behind. They were all over the place with their time in several movies. And Not that, you know, it's a franchise, you shouldn't really pick it up and put it down and all that, like, I get that, but it's like, man, you gotta be a little bit more, you know, a little more consistent with it, and that was really my main issue, because it's like, well, wait a minute, what the hell, where are we here? You know, it had a couple moments like that, which like that.
They could have named this thing Flashback the Franchise.
That's hilarious.
Yeah, I mean, it was driving me nuts. And every time they'd flash back to something, I'd just roll my eyes like, oh, here we go with this bullshit again.
Okay, so I do want to say that, oh, damn it, is it? See, they blend together for me, which is a pain in the ass, too.
They do very much blend together, and that's because they're so similar. Like I said, there's a formula to them, and so it's hard to, you know, tell one from the other after a while.
Which one was the one, Kat, where they had their... There were two dudes who were, like, chained to this thing, and they had – one had their eyes sewed shut.
Four?
Four? Okay.
That was four.
Man, four, as much as I wasn't a fan of it, it started off hot, man.
The traps were amazing in four. Like
– See, I think four – you know, I wasn't a big fan of the actual movie itself. Like, as a movie, I wasn't a big fan of that. But I'm not going to sit here and say it was bad because – It's like they knew their fan base, and they gave them what they wanted. You know, they really focused on that. They lost track of the story a little, you know, a good amount. Yeah, well, I guess not, because the story really didn't even get started really till 4, if you think about it. I don't know. It wasn't as consistent story, but it got away from the original story, I guess. But, man, they came off hot with that, and it was just like, holy shit, okay, Saw's back. And that was a good start.
I felt like 4 was, at least the ending, was reminiscent of 2, where, you know, had the detective in the second film just sat down and talked to John Kramer for whatever it was, an hour, 90 minutes, whatever he said, I don't remember, then the safe would have opened and he would have gotten his son back and he wouldn't have had to do anything, right?
Right.
And the exact same thing turned out to be the ending of the fourth movie. Had he just not done anything, they would have all lived and been set free.
Right.
So that kind of irritated me a little bit. Like, you know, you've got there's so much potential and so many possibilities with this franchise and the way it's built. They'll restart. Come on.
Yeah. That was a little, I'm on the fence about that one because it was a little bit irritating to see. And I also felt like, especially the way that, like Jigsaw was executed, also took the same timeline formula from 4, which was agitating. But I think the doing nothing aspect bothers me just a little bit less, just because there is that thing that John has where he knows that these traps are going to work mostly because he knows how people are going to react to them. And they didn't need to do it a second time in 4. Like, Riggs didn't need to have that arc. But it does kind of show the predictable nature of humanity. It tied back around to an earlier theme, which, I don't know. It doesn't bother me too much, that instance of it.
Right.
Something else that I want to touch on before I forget, because the traps, you mentioned, you know, that's what the fan base really wanted for 4. One thing that I love, one thing that makes me really want to go to bat for the Saw movies is the use of practical effects. Like, again, ignore 7.
Yeah.
But the practical effects, I love their commitment to that when they were doing it on the, like, lower budget for Saw, when they had the higher budget for 4. The fact that they did, like, as much practical stuff as possible really makes the effects stand up. Like, there are very few movies I can watch from the same time period as Saw that look as good as Saw looks in terms of gore.
Right.
Yeah, I think for the most part, all the movies were well made. You know, from a technical standpoint, all of them were well made, and they all looked good. And yeah, the effects look great throughout the franchise.
Yeah.
I don't really have any complaints in that area.
I think they started looking a little too good as time went on. Honestly, because what made Saw so great was it was that gritty. You know, like, it was that, and it just lost, especially with Jigsaw. I mean, maybe that was the best one, the best example of that, but man, I don't know, it lost that grittiness as time went on, and I think that hurt it a little bit as well.
I thought, talking about the look of the movies,
right,
there was a gritty sort of look to 1 and 2,
right,
and then in 3, one of the notes that I made was, it looks like a shiny movie trying to look gritty.
Right, 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 yeah.
And I felt like that change came with the 3rd movie, where all of a sudden it was like, and I don't know what the budgets were on these films. I can't imagine the first one had much of a budget.
Yeah.
And that probably led to at least part of the reason why it looked that way.
Mm-hmm.
That might be true of the second one as well, but my guess is as the budgets increased,
right,
it started to be a big budget movie that was trying to look like a small budget movie.
Right. Yeah. And it's hard to not do that. Like, it really is. I get that part of it. But yeah, I don't know. There's things you don't have to do that, you know, you can kind of keep that, you know, keep that at bay a little bit. And yeah, I don't know, man, like, it wasn't really necessary, some of the stuff. Like, some movies don't need to look great. Like, Friday the 13th is a good example. That movie does not need to look great.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And Saw is definitely one of them. I mean, for crying out loud, what made them as big of a deal as they was pretty much just a dirty ass fucking shower room.
Yeah, no, you're right. Some movies don't need to look great. Like, I remember, wasn't that long ago, people were real excited because we were going to get a 4K Blu-ray transfer of Evil Dead. I'm like, there is nothing I want to see less than Evil Dead.
No. Especially like an Army of Darkness is a god, no.
Yeah, those movies do not need to be 4K. Maybe the remake, but other than that, the other ones do not need to be in 4K.
Yeah, no. No, they really don't. They really, really don't. I mentioned the jumping around thing. You know, another thing that stuck out to me, especially later on, it's mainly in Jigsaw, they really, really could have found a better way of playing those tapes. And what comes to mind as a perfect example, Paranormal Activity. And say what you want about the franchise, I love Paranormal Activity. They grew. Like, each... they started off with just the cameras on the stand and all that, but they eventually grew to security cameras and this and that. And it was really cool to see the growth in technology kind of, you know, help that along and utilize that the best that they could. I mean, damn, man, they still had a fucking old school tape recorder on the bottom of the fucking thing in 2017, 18, this came out, yeah. Whatever it was.
Yeah.
Could have used that a little bit more. That was a little lazy to me.
Yeah, they could have had some kid pick it up and go, what the hell's this?
Right. Yeah, right, right. Yeah.
How the hell are you working this thing?
Right, right. Yeah, so. We also passed over, we got to see Tobin Bell's Peach.
Sweet Jesus.
In this franchise, which I thought was special. That was great, so.
We did? Did I miss that?
Saw 4.
He's pretty close to the opening shot, right? He's
yeah.
Like laid out on the autopsy table.
Oh, the autopsy table. Yeah, that's right. I remember.
Not to make fun, a huge fan of Tobin Bell. I love and respect this man, but Rob, I can see why you missed it. That's all.
Yeah.
A little bit of Stevie going on with Mr. Tobin Bell.
Maybe he's a grower and not a shower. You know?
It had to be cold. He was laying on a metal table. I'll give him the benefit of the doubt. It had to be cold.
Yeah, it's cold. Yeah, it's cold, you know.
Might have been suffering from a little shrinkage. We don't know.
Yeah.
Yeah. Rob, you went into this kicking and screaming.
Uh-huh.
You're still kicking and screaming.
I kicked and screamed throughout it, and I'm still kicking and screaming.
What do you think there was anything... I know it's a blanket statement, and you could probably list a million things, but what do you think the biggest problem, if you had to name one thing, what do you think the biggest problem with this franchise was?
There's a lot.
I know, you could name, and that's what any franchise, not to pick on this one, Cap.
Oh, no, it needs picked on a little bit.
Right, right.
Yeah. I mean, I guess my biggest, the biggest thing for me, was losing interest because of how formulaic they were.
Okay.
And I realize that that's a weird thing to say because I've said that my favorite franchise is Friday the 13th.
Sure.
You don't get more formulaic than a Friday the 13th movie.
Yeah.
The difference between the two is that the formula for Friday the 13th is very simple.
Right.
And this, the formula here is not.
Mm-hmm.
I got the sense that at times I felt like the filmmaker was talking down to me.
Oh, God. You don't like that.
No, I don't. Not at all. You know, like I said, there were just a lot of times where I felt like they're going, ha ha, look how clever we are. But you didn't see that coming. Whatever, man. Just make your movies. You know?
Yeah.
And I don't think that overall this franchise has the sympathy for the victims that it wants to pretend to have.
Yeah. Yeah, I could see that.
Across the 8 movies, there were numerous missed opportunities to do something really great. And more often than not, they did something that was at best mediocre and at worst awful.
Ooh.
Outside of the first 2 movies, I don't think that I would ever rewatch any of the other ones.
Okay. I would probably go with just it, you know, the director and the writer, like Kat had pointed out earlier. I think that is, and we've seen it happen with other franchises, but with a story like this, and like you said, there's complexity involved, like, a lot of it, you know, and it's like to go different directions with something like that is difficult. But man, I will stand by the first one, classic, you know, you can't really take much away from the importance of that movie and the impact that it had when it came out. The second one was great. You know, I would put that up against most movies and it would contend. Third one I like too, but then that's when it started, like, you know, it's kind of like Final Destination, I think, where the first few were really good and then you had, to me anyway, personally, all the rest of the movies had moments where you're like, oh wow, you know, it flashed its greatness here and there. And it's like, oh, wow, you know, that's really good. But, yeah, I could see where Rob is coming from, where it was kind of the same song and dance for the most part throughout it. But, you know, Kat, you picked it. This is when you really sit, like, I've never paid attention to the movies before, going through it, watching it to talk about it here with all of us. There's a lot going on in these, man. You really picked an enigma.
Yeah, and it's what I love about it, because there are... Usually, I think one of the biggest, and it's kind of like the Friday the 13th thing, you know, where it's saying you don't really like formulaic movies, even though you like it in somewhere else. It's normally one of the biggest crimes that a movie or a franchise can commit, for me, is not living up to its potential. But Saw, I think, showed what it could do often enough and regularly enough, consistently, to the point where I feel like there's always things to think about, there are always things to discuss, there are always new angles, and it's kept me engaged for a really long time, like more than I ever expected.
I will give them credit for that. They aimed higher than most horror franchises aim. You know, it felt like they really had something to say with these movies, as opposed to, you know, most, you know, as opposed to Friday the 13th, where there's nothing to say, it's just fun. So I do give them credit for that. They tried to do something lofty. I think they were aiming for the same sort of societal comment that maybe Romero made with his Dead movies. The problem is they fell short of the mark more often than not, in my opinion.
Mm-hmm.
Whereas Romero pretty much hit it dead on every time. But you know, yeah, you have to give them credit for that. I admire anybody who swings for the fences, even if they strike out.
Okay. Yeah. I could see that for sure. Kat, did you have anything you wanted to mention on this that we haven't touched yet?
Obviously, I could talk about this forever. The one other big thing, and it comes back around to like my special effects thing a little bit,
right,
just that the editing in the first two is so, so incredible. I was amazed because they got such a reputation for being gory, even really early in the franchise, and one and two don't show that much. I think some of like the scariest traps were the ones like the needle pit. You don't really see that much gore, but you kind of like cringe every time you think about it. And that's, I think a lot of people overlook that because so many of the later installations were like, we're going to do like a brain drilling scene and a full on autopsy. And they didn't really hold anything back in later installations. I think people forget how well edited those first two are.
Yeah.
Speaking of interesting editing, they did an interesting thing with the transitions, I thought, in the fourth movie.
They did.
There was these, I don't even know how to describe it, but they were really interesting transitions from scene to scene or sequence to sequence that I you know, really caught my eye. And at first I couldn't decide whether I loved them or hated them, but ultimately I ended up really liking them.
Yeah, and you know, the effects are, I mean, that I think that's part of what made the movie as great as it was, the franchise as great as it was, man. You know, it looked so damn real. It made me cringe. It made me look away at times, you know, and that's not always the easiest thing to do with horror stuff. Because we had an old co-host there. She used to say all the time, and she was so right, it's hard to make blood look good. Like, it really is very difficult to make blood look good.
Yeah.
And, you know, she's right. Like, and man, forget about just making blood look good. Like, prosthetics and limbs coming off and shit being torn and all that stuff. And, man, I've never seen a franchise do it. I want to be careful before I say this. If it's been done better, man, it's not by much. It'll contend with damn near anything. Like, it really will.
Yeah, I mean, the look of these movies is great. The effects, all of that was, you know,
yeah,
it was all really well done. I do think with the complexity of the story, you guys are right. Had it been one, you know, a writer and director who sort of oversaw the entire thing,
right,
it would have maybe worked out a little bit better. You know, we see with, you know, like Friday the 13th is constantly changing writers and directors from installment to installment, but they didn't care about making sense out of those movies from the very beginning. You know, it's clear.
Yeah, no.
Yeah, with an overarching storyline that's going to run throughout the movies, having a steadier hands at the wheel would have served them a lot better.
Oh, yeah. A lot better. But, you know, that's something we'll never know. Was there rumors about this? I think I remembered something along the lines of there's another one coming out or something
Spiral,
like that.
Spiral from the Book of Saw. It's got Chris Rock and Samuel L. Jackson.
Oh, right. Okay, yeah, that's what I wanted to talk to you guys about. Chris Rock. I love Chris Rock. Huge fan of Chris Rock. But, man, do you think him making a horror movie is going to work out? And especially touching one, not only making a horror movie, it's not like it's his own, like he's going to Jordan Peele this thing. He's taking Saw, which is, there's so many, it's hard for the original maker, like the people who are experienced in horror films to do those movies right. I mean, damn, he's got balls. What do you think we're going to get?
I was really worried when I heard that Chris Rock was the one that picked up Saw, because I had those same concerns. But if I'm correct, I don't know if this was a rumor, if this is an actual thing. I think they're getting Darren Lynn Bousman back to work on it. And he did 2, 3, and 4. 4 was questionable, but 2 and 3 are, you know, two of the top ones. So,
well, that's like just your opinion.
What, 2 at least is the top one. I really like, I'm a big fan of Darren Lynn Bousman, so I'm a little bit more hopeful, especially if that's true, if that's not just rumor, like if he worked on it.
How is this, I don't know what this movie is. Is it a continuation of the story? Is it, or is it a reboot? What exactly is this movie? Do we know?
The trailer, I'm just going to come out and say this. The trailer made it look a lot more like a cop drama. Like, if you're worried about that in the later Saw movies, the trailer for Spiral is not going to reassure you at all.
Oh, God. Yeah.
So I will say this. When I heard there was going to be another Saw movie, my initial reaction was, oh, I can't wait to not see it. And then I found out that Chris Rock was involved, and it piqued my interest. I want to see what he does.
Do you?
Yeah. I mean, I don't see why not. We've seen people come from the world of comedy and do well, and obviously the go-to example is Jordan Peele, because he's made 2 amazing movies. But, you know, let's not forget that, you know, Danny McBride had a hand in making the latest Halloween film.
Yes, 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 very true. I was shocked when I seen that. I was like, yeah. Holy shit.
And there are a lot of similarities between horror and comedy in the way that it's performed and also just sort of the place that it comes from.
Right, right.
You know, what's the saying? Something like, you know, there's no comedian comes from a happy home.
Yeah.
That sort of thing. You know, there's always a darkness there.
Yeah.
You know, also in performing, performance-wise, they're both very reliant on timing.
Mm-hmm.
So they're not as different as they might seem on the surface. So I'm interested in it. I like anything that is, I love it when an actor is cast against type.
Right. Yeah.
In movies, you know, that always interests me to see, you know, somebody play a role that you wouldn't expect them to see.
Mm-hmm.
And I think, in this role for Chris Rock is an interesting chance to see him play a role we wouldn't think that he would see, and also to see how well he can work on the movie, because he's writing it, right?
I think so. Isn't he, Kat? Do you know?
Wrote it already.
I thought he was directing it, and then I heard Darren Lynn Bousman was back, so now I don't know who's doing what anymore.
Yeah, I was actually the same, Kat. I was under the impression that he was going to write and direct it. But it seems like I did read somewhere that he wasn't directing it. Someone else was coming in. It must be Darren Lynn Bousman.
Yeah.
But either way, I'm interested to see what he'll do, because he's going to have a bigger hand in this film than just being in it.
Yeah.
Right.
And so that actually did pique my interest enough to where I was thinking, man, I'm going to go to the theater and see a Saw movie. Who knows?
Yeah. Chris Rock picked a ballsy one, man. He picked a real ballsy one to go for. He really did.
Well, on the bright side, he only has to follow up Jigsaw.
True.
The bar
true.
Got really lowered, so.
Yeah. That's true.
Yeah.
That's true. Wait until your boy LeBron makes his Friday the 13th.
Okay, We are not about to talk about LeBron James. I can tell you that right motherfucker now.
No.
That is not happening.
No, 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 no.
God, why you gotta piss me off the way you do?
No.
Why?
It's one of the four.
Obviously it is. Obviously it is. But yeah. So I mean, that Saw. I'm gonna watch this. So I'll tell you what. It'll get me to at least watch the damn thing with Chris Rock involved, and that's something that I couldn't really say otherwise. You know, yeah. Like shit.
Yeah, it has Samuel L. Jackson in it too, doesn't it?
It does.
It does. Yeah. It does.
I think they're partners.
Yeah. I'm not gonna hate that.
Maybe.
I don't know, but. Yeah, so it's worth a watch. We will see how they do. All right, guys. I mean, that's all I could think of to mention on Saw. I mean, Kat, you are 2 weeks in now, and you've already pissed Rob the fuck off, and that makes me super happy. So good job on that.
Yeah, unfortunately, Kat, thank you and you. I will never be friends.
I do want to offer you, Rob, the opportunity to piss me off also, though. Can I ask what your rankings were? Can I ask, what the final top to bottom?
Hold on. I guess I'll just go one to eight because I already told you Saw 2 was number one. So it kills the suspense, right?
Yeah.
So Saw 2 is number one. Number two was Saw, the original. Number three, I had Six. Four was The Final Chapter.
Really?
Five was Five. Six was Jigsaw. Seven was Three. And Eight was Four.
Damn.
Yeah, I'm surprised Final Chapter made it that high.
Yeah, me too.
But it did, the premise was really,
that's,
really good.
That's why I think I put it so high. I did really like that premise. I really wish they had been able to do more with it.
Damn. That's okay. I mean, I still don't understand. Because... no offense, Kat. There were some shitty movies in this franchise. Like, they really were. So, for three to go that low, that's crazy.
I did not like it at all. Like, I was bored watching three.
I don't know how the hell that happened. All right. Do we see
I'm more discerning than you.
Kat, you know, this is coming from a rubber fan, so, you know.
Yeah, so I'm less concerned.
Nice. Oh, man. But all right, guys, be sure to go check us out at Slasher Radio on Twitter. Give us a follow. We're at Slasher Radio on YouTube and SlasherRadio.com, where you can get all our episodes, interviews, articles, all that stuff. And you can check me out at Mikey's Dead on Twitter. Give me a follow. And Rob, I don't think anyone really wants to talk to you, but if they did... where would they call
me? I would prefer that they leave you the hell alone, but if they must, they can find me on Twitter. I am at RadioRob123. You can also listen to my other show, This Horror Life, and you can find that wherever fine podcasts are available.
Okay. Kat, where are you gracing people with your presence on Twitter?
On Twitter, I am Kat_Velour, VOLEUR.
Okay. And that is that, ladies and gentlemen. Check us out. We'll be back next week. And good night from Slasher Radio.
All the best of Slasher Radio Podcast.
Man, I have to work on Halloween, which is sad. But I will be running spooky Dungeons and Dragons sessions.
Damn, okay.
That's what I do for a job. Like, it's not exciting or Halloween themed. That's just my life. But yeah.
Wait, you run Dungeons and Dragons sessions as a job?
Oh, yeah. Yeah, that didn't come up last week, did it?
No,
I'm a professional dungeon master. That's my day job.
What? That's a thing?
Apparently.
And also, by the way, the nerdiest thing I've ever heard.
Fair. Very fair.
I never got into Dungeons and Dragons. I had some friends who were into it in like high school, and they always wanted me to play, and I'm like, yeah, no, whatever, guys. You go ahead and play Dungeons and Dragons. I'll be over here drinking beer and talking to girls.
Oh, God. That is some Rob shit to say. Isn't it?
Yeah.
Oh my god. Okay, ladies and gentlemen. Well, just ladies.
But so. That's a show, isn't it?
That was fun, guys. Yeah,
Kat, who the hell pays you to play Dungeons?
I spent last year. I got hired to do movie reviews, horror movie reviews for the Dead Walk Online. I live in the dream. And this year just lockdown started, and I was like, oh, I'm probably going to be fine because I work from home. And they immediately shut us down. They're like, we can't be doing this for a while. We're going on temporary hiatus. And then, damn. You know, like a couple months later, I'm looking for a job because it's like I haven't heard anything back and I'm broke. And
yeah.
I was just like, I had put in a bunch of applications, and I hopped onto Twitter like as I'm lounging around, and I saw this thing that was like, open call for Dungeon Masters, and I was like D&D? So I sent in a thing, and I was like, what are the qualifications even for this? I didn't know this was a job, and they're like, have you run 5th edition before? And I was like, for a couple friends, and they're like, we have two modules that are like very horror based and fucked up. Would you run those? And I was like, please, like, absolutely. I don't care what they are. I haven't read either one of them. They're like, damn. Wonderful. You're hired. I was like,
oh. Nice. All right. Yeah. I saw it said on your Twitter profile, it said something about a dungeon master, but I didn't know if that was Dungeons and Dragons or like some weird sex thing.
Everyone thinks it's like a weird sex thing.
Yeah.
Like the most. But no, Dark Galaxies Gaming pays me to play Dungeons and Dragons all day. So.
It's not bad work if you can get it.
Right?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Damn. I wish I could find someone to pay me to get my shit pushed in on Dead by Daylight all day. That'd be
Yeah. I think more people would pay to watch you die than you realize, Maggie.
Well, I mean, hey, man, the Dead by Daylight's the fucking game, I can tell you that. I can tell you that.
Say goodbye to your credit card rewards. Greedy corporate mega stores, led by Walmart and Target, are pushing for a law in Congress to take away your hard-earned cash back and travel points to line their pockets. The Durbin-Marshall credit card bill would enact harmful credit card routing mandates that would end credit card rewards as we know it. If you love your credit card rewards, tell your lawmakers, hands off my rewards. Tell them to oppose the Durbin-Marshall credit card bill.